If you didn't notice, I wasn't here for the first 2 days of the Zaman. I had to recover whatever from Ben Zamanim. It's good to be back. I can't remember the last time I missed the beginning of the Zaman. And Baruch Hashem, it's good to be back. If you'll notice, I'm not wearing glasses. The other glasses I had are my driving glasses. And it was a long trip back, but kids, my glasses at the Chasana are in many, many, many pieces. And so I got back on Friday, and I pushed, you know, I need reading glasses. I teach all day and I learn, and I needed reading glasses. So I got off the plane and got home about 11:20, 11:30 Friday, and called the glasses store what time they're open till. And I went to Gula. And Baruch Hashem, you know, in a few days from now, you will see me looking nice, the new spectacles, I hope. Because the problem with buying glasses, because you can't see. Sure, these are purple. I'm not colorblind anyway, but so things were, I was very tired. I was in America a very short amount of time, but I was flying a lot, and I was really tired, and then I went to Dav Mincha, and I came home, I finally ate something, and then I had to, you know, unpack and this and that. Anyway, the kids are, by the time I realized that I didn't go to the mikvah, it was late. And the time change, so I run to the mikveh that I go to in the neighborhood, and they're closed already. So I had to go run. They closed right early. I went to another mikveh, and the gabbai over there had locked the door already. He had locked the door, and I said to him, "I need to go to the mikveh." So he said, "Sago." It means I need the mikveh, and he said to me, "Go away. It's closed." So I said, "Atalo mivin." I'll tell you in English. I said, "I was just in America for 30 hours. I said, I got to go to the mikvah 30 times. Please open the door." And everybody there starts laughing. He unlocked the door and he let me in. And I went about 150. You know those guys? Anyway. What are you looking at people in the mikvah for? Shmiras Einayim, guys. Anyway, but so I'm going to tell you my feelings, why I really felt like besides Erev Shabbos, I try to always go Erev Shabbos, but like, I really felt like I needed the mikvah. I'm going to read, you know, it's important to keep a diary and things like that, and memoirs and things. Most of mine have been put in Cherim. But I'm going to read you some, being that the Rosh Yeshiva and the Mashgiach are not here, I'm going to read you some of the feelings of how I felt in America and coming back, Baruch Hashem. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I felt. I feel like a demon who seduces female man-eating creatures after murdering Nazi Martians who slam dunk out of a plane which was chasing a deformed robotic race car that landed on a deserted island, who found a dwarf smoking a J, drug reference, after he ate sushi filled with human body parts. Now, this is the part of the memoirs that I can read in a base medrash. Hold on, I forgot to do this. Okay, this is... The rest, anyone who's second year and up can come over to me afterwards and ask me in the locker room, where they only have video, not audio. Anyway, but now they're going to change that. So obviously you're probably wondering why I felt like all of that. So I'll tell you the truth. I feel like that because... Baruch Hashem, most of my life, I'm 48, and most of my life, you know, the Rav understands what I mean. Most of my life has been in the Beis Medrash. Even if, you know, till 1920, 21, 22, you know, was maybe not that way, or was definitely not that way. This even second year and above, I will not tell you about. when most of your life is in a Beis Medrash, and then you go to a we'll call it, just because of last week's Parsha, a Teva of Tuma, which if they want to know what they should put as the, you know, as the title, whoever does the titles, I want to title a Teva of Tuma. I was pushed in a box, a boat, a box of Tuma. Now, anybody who knows me from the past, I've had many, many years of issues with my kidneys. I've had 6 times kidney stones, hospitalization and different things. And because of that, I have to be very careful. I always have to stay hydrated. Now, Air Canada has free alcohol. So when you want to stay hydrated and there's free alcohol, you drink a lot of water. Anyway, so on planes especially, when you fly a lot of days, so you have to drink a lot of water. And the TSA or whatever it's called doesn't allow you to bring in. So I always have a water bottle with me, and so it's empty, and then you fill it and you drink. I'm always drinking. There's a downside to always drinking water on a plane. You know, it's really cool that the, what's it called, the 787-9 Dreamliner thing. It's really great, a lot of room, but very few bathrooms. And they don't let people like me into first class or business. So you're waiting. You're waiting a lot in line. And it's a funny thing, because my glasses broke, so I had my driving glasses. I thought I had to drive when I went to America, so I brought my driving glasses, Baruch Hashem, because my reading glasses were finished. So
you wanted to drive the truck?
Of course I wanted to drive the truck. So I did when you guys fell asleep. Anyway, so I had my glasses, you know, on. I don't want to like bump into people. It's dark, you know, the Dreamliner. I don't know if you know about this plane. It automatically gets like dark, even when it's light outside, because it like wants you to go to sleep. So the windows become tinted black. Anyway, so that's when you light up. Anyway, but so I had my glasses, and then I'm waiting in line, and it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I look, and it's pitch black on the plane. So you see, I'm very not used to it. It's a funny thing. I'm not used to seeing far because I wear reading glasses all day, so I don't really see far well. And even when I see something, I don't exactly know what I'm watching, what I'm seeing. But I have my glasses. And every time I went to the bathroom, I don't know why I didn't figure this out, like the first 7 times, and I needed the water closet. Anyway, it's unbelievable that everyone, Kimat, everyone, there was only, 7 from people on the whole plane, Bogo, right? Maybe 8. They couldn't get a minion. They couldn't get 7, 8 people. And everybody was either Goyim or they were Chilonim, you know, non-religious Israelis. And everybody, at every screen, Kimat was on. And even if you don't look, something's wrong with me, I don't know. There's either someone seducing a girl, killing somebody, an explosion, like this weird creature thing. It's only my flight? It's every screen. And even if you don't look, you know when you see something and then you don't look? But I kept seeing, there was nothing that I couldn't. And the people next to you, and then I don't know why I need an aisle seat, because I have to go to the bathroom so much. So they're like 5 rows ahead of you, like you can see. So you can't pick your head up. And Baruch Hashem, I had a Gemara with me, and I was very jet lagged, so I tried to fall asleep. I couldn't really fall asleep. And so, but you know, you're tired, so you can't learn so much. I had my Gemara, T4. Anyway, but you pick your head up every once in a while, you know? And you go to the bathroom, and you see. And it was just an amazing, this is like group therapy, okay guys? It was an amazing feeling of being nauseous. Just nauseated. How hundreds of people on a plane are watching people have znus and killing and punching, and if not, then you're in your stomach, this dimion of stupidity, and they're loving it. And I had my Gemara. Now let me tell you, if you ever learned Chulin, you probably didn't. Anyone who ever learned Eilat Treifas, Okay? So I have the picture Eilu Treifas. Now, Eilu Treifas is great. Every part of an animal's body that's got pins. You guys even learned those Gemaras. The pin is going through the base of Kaisis half within it. That's a Gemara in Treifas, okay? And then a sliced spine. It was, I was loving it. It was great. And the person sitting next to me, I caught them like, ew. It's great. I was loving it. And I thought to myself, this is great. I'm loving Ratzon Hashem of mutilated animal body parts to find out if I could eat this thing. And they think it's gross. And they're loving znus and murder and stealing. They're loving it. Me too. No. And I think it's just disgusting. Just disgusting. And I really felt, I felt good in a certain way, but I really felt dirty. And I'm not checking it out. I'm not doing that. I just felt affected. And I think it's the past week's parshas. Just wanna, you know, to give you Divrei Torah, you know, for the future, you know, that that brings out that point. It's a Rambam. It's thrown around in the Musar Sfarim, and it's known. Maybe you've heard it in the past. The Rambam was already mechaven. He knew clearly. He knew that, you know, what the psychologists only the past, not too long ago, have figured out, that there's two things: there's nature and there's nurture. There's nature and there's nurture. Nature is the way you're born. You're born a certain way. You have certain character traits. And some people are angry people by nature, and dad was angry, and granddad's angry, and I'm sure great-granddad was killed a few people, you know, and I got his genes. And other people, you know, they have a lot of taiva for money. Other people have a real desire for covet, and it's you know, it's in the nature. There are people that are born, they have certain things naturally. And then there's another thing called nurture. Nurture is that you're affected by your surroundings. That's why Pirkei Avos says, don't have a chavira, don't have a shochinra. You're affected by the people and the things that are around you. You know? I found myself after the fight saying sorry, you know, because I was with all these Canadians, and every time they ran the cart over my foot, they're like, sorry, you know? And I took a hockey stick and I, anyway. But, you know, but you're affected the way, if you're really polite, you know, if you're really nasty, sometimes you pick those things up. And in last week's parsha by Noach, Rashi brings down, we'll do it Bekitzer, Rashi brings down that even the ground, the first three tfachim of the ground, of the earth, had to also be dissolved. Had to also be dissolved because there was so much ra, there was so much znus and geneva and disgusting midas that it literally affected the ground. And that ground can no longer be part of Briyas HaOlam. It can't be. That first three tefachim has to be destroyed. Rashi brings down by when Hashem tells Noach to bring the animals, it says Leminehu, to their species. What is Rashi says, what does it mean? Because the animals, it's true, you got to bring at least two of every animal into the table, but not the ones, you know, that started to intermingle. You know, if the penguins started hanging out, you know, with the kitty cats, you know, and the dogs started hanging out with the horses, not maybe in the oven in the base of Medrash, those guys can't come in. Those guys can't come in. So you do what's very famous. This is before homosexuality was accepted in America. It was Yadua, that in the zoo in San Francisco, right? That was where it all first started. That it was like, okay, you know, it was accepted. Talking about in the 80s. It was Yadua that the penguins started to become homosexual. It's amazing. That literally in the zoo, it was like the first time ever that they had found such a concept in the, you know, in the modern day, you know, world. And the world was affected. And the animals also, because there was so much tumor going on in the world that even the animals got affected. I think it's the Nesivus, a relative of the Nesivus, called, I think the sefer is called Nachlas Yaakov. Years ago I heard this, that Avram Avinu, next week's Parsha, in Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu, when he goes into Mitzrayim, you know, he leaves, and he goes to Mitzrayim, he says, Hinei no yadati, Eishes yifas mare at. Now I see, I realize, so that you're so beautiful, so we gotta hide, you know? Put her in the box, you know? And brought into Mitzrayim. So that I think it's safe, and Nachlas Yaakov says, what's pshat? Now I see. So Rashi says, dipim shatim. But he says pshat, that Mitzrayim is known for what? Shtufei zima. Mitzrayim was like the worst of the worst of the worst of znus. Mamish, no holds barred, you know, whatever you wanted, that's what you did. And it affected literally the area space, it literally affected the ground, that even Avram Avinu, that when he crossed the border to Mitzrayim, he checked his wife out. He looked at her beauty, even though normally he didn't do that. He didn't look at his wife, if she's beautiful or not. But even Avram Avinu was affected just by the area that he was. You know, in Brachos, it says, you know, the first chet. How did the first chet happen? The chava. How did the first chet happen? Taiva hile inayim. We say every day, lois asur acharei levavchem v'acharei inechem. That what a person looks at, it affects you. Your eyes are the thing that draws you to want something. That affects you. What you look at affects you. And she looked and she said, oh, taiva hile inayim, and it caused her to go against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Ratzon of Hashem. She ate from the Eitz Hadas. B'kitzur, I need a rehab. I need help, man. I am tummy, man. You know, I just feel like sick. I feel gross. I feel so gross. You know, Sukkos by me is sitting a sukkah and just like learning and going to Simchas Beis HaShoeivos and just davening. I daven early every single day, Sukkos. Because I'm too cheap to buy more lulav, so I give my kids, who are still sleeping, after davening. It doesn't make a difference why I get up early, but I get up early. I'm up early. What do you do all day when you're up early? And I try not to eat out of a sukkah, so I'm not going nowhere. So you're just in your sukkah, hanging out, fresting. I gained 25 pounds, it was great. But it's a mitzvah. And I learned. You know, that's all. That's my life, man. You know? Okay, I chill hard sometimes too, but no avers. I try not to do avers. And then I just get on a plane. I was in America for like 30, what was it? 32? I was in transit for 48 to 50 hours. I was on transit more than I was in America. But you know what I felt in the hotel? It's a pella. I'll tell you that, you know, I don't care. Don't post this. I don't care. I felt like having znus in the hotel. Why? Because what a guy do in hotels in the middle of nowhere? Just bring a girl there. Oh, I was like knocking on the door. Are you one of those guys? Just joking. And who's this Ted Baker guy? What was the thing that it said? The sign? Don't bother me. I'm watching Ted Baker.
No, Ted.
I don't know what that is. That has something to do with Snus, I'm sure. It's got to. It's America. I don't. It's weird. I just go to the hotel. This is huge. I don't know, 4 foot. I didn't have I only had pushed centimeters and tefachim. I couldn't tell how big it was. But it was, this is huge. Oh, we're almost late. This huge screen. It's huge screen. And I'm thinking, yeah. I'm like, no. Elu Trafus, buddy. Let's go, you know? But like this feeling of like, hefgeris. That's just like this feeling I got. Tell you a personal story. When I was 19, maybe just turning 20, I had a very close chaver. For whatever reason, Revolba told him, Dafgayin's Shaduchim, you have to get married. Go get married. So he got married. He was 19. He got married. They were statistic. She was 18 and they had a baby. So, you know, and I wanted to go to Chassi. His mom was very, very close chaver of mine. And I remember my Rebbe, it was in the middle of winter's month, and I remember my Rebbe said, Strife, you can't go. Don't go. And it was a very hard thing. He left it up to me, but he said, don't go. It was very hard for me. So I said to him, why not? He said, because I know you now for 2 years. And you're in the middle of an amazing stage, and you're growing, and you're changing, and you're developing in all different ways. He said to me the following words. I go to America to recruit. I go to America for, you know, I have chasanas of Talmidim and things. That's what he told me. He says, and every time I fly, I get affected. He says, for you right now, it's not kedai. It's not kedai. Stay in yeshiva. It's winter's man. Stay in yeshiva 5 months straight. Stay there. You'll see the difference it'll make. It's not kedai. That's what he said to me. Detroit. Drugs are legal. Gambling. MGM. I was in MGM. It's nice. I'll tell you that story. Bogo. And I sat, well, you know, I was very jet lagged, and I'm sitting on my bed at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, like wide awake. Nate's in Detroit is 8:04. They should be on Chicago time, but because of business, Detroit's on New York time. Now, when you're jet lagged, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and Nate's is 8:04. You're not allowed to eat. It's after a lice. You're jet lagged. Like, what are you doing? Anyways, I sat on my bed, and I looked out the window a little bit, you know. And an I-74, I don't know if you know anything about Michigan. I-74, it's thousands of cars straight all day, both directions. And I'm thinking to myself, well, where are these people going? What are they doing? What are they doing? Where are they going? And then I'm on a plane, and there's hundreds of people just watching things that they should be embarrassed and wasting their time. The people sitting next to me were not religious Israelis. I wanted to throw up on them. They didn't order kosher food. I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know what to do with myself. You're eating treif? What are you doing? And there's a big world out there that has no shaychus to Ratzon of Hashem. There's a big world out there that doesn't understand why you were created, which is just to find out what you're all about, what your neshama is about, and get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve Hashem, to have it good in this world, have it good in the next world. We'll end with this. What is a yeshiva? What's a yeshiva? Many definitions. What does yeshiva mean? What does yeshiva mean? To sit. It's also from Yishuv, which means not just you sit, they used to stand learning. Like Maimon Har Sinai used to hold that you couldn't sit down when you were learning. So, but they were in yeshiva. So that can't be the only definition, you're right.
Dwelling.
Yeah. And Yishuv Adas. You know what Yishuv Adas means? That there's nothing bothering you up here. Nothing. There's nothing bothering you. Nothing. You're settled. You have Menuchas HaNefesh. You have Yishuv Adas. And what are you doing in the yeshiva? Just finding out what life is about. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about. The Torah is called Rachmana. Hashem is called Rachmana. Yisrael, Ve'araisa, Ve'kid Shebricha Chadu. Through Torah, Klal Yisrael becomes one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what the Das of Hashem is about. People know in the last Mishnah in Yuma that Mam Mikva Mataris Es HaTameim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mataris Yisrael. How was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mataris Yisrael? So discussion in the Rishonim, what a pshat in the Gemara, and pshat in the Mishnah, different pshatim. But one thing is for sure clear. When you're karuv to Hashem, and you're yoshiv, you return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever a person needs to work on in life, you just find out what Hashem wants from you, what Hashem wants from the world, and you get close to Hashem, then you're tar, you're clean. And that's what a yeshiva is about, that's what 5 months Mirtz Hashem in this teva, because the Rosh Shiva, the Mashkiach, and the Rebbeim, there's a system set up over here Pashut, that there's nothing. There's nothing but what you need in life. In Torah, in mitzvahs, in the right hashkafas, and away from the other things that could take you away from that. And if a person takes advantage all this time in yeshiva, these next few months, and it's not a big deal. You got plenty of time to do averis and to act like a goy and to schmutz yourself up. You got plenty of time in life for that. Plenty. There's no shortage. They ain't running out of it in America, trust me. No problem. No shortage. But you have time here now that you can invest and feel the difference. The Simchas HaChaim, what it means that I have nothing in my life but what Hashem wants, and be in touch with yourself and see what that feels like. To invest in yourself. And when you're matire means to wipe away, means to clear something off. Don't leave yourself empty. Don't come to a yeshiva that doesn't allow all the technology and all this stuff. Don't come to yeshiva that tells you don't go to town and don't do this and don't do that. Don't go to yeshiva. Stay away from all that stuff and then leave yourself empty. That's depression. Stomach's depression. Clear it away, which the yeshiva set up, and then you know what? Fill yourself. Jump in the mikvah of Torah and mitzvahs, and you'll feel the difference in yourself, how beautiful you are, and how awesome it is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were all affected in one way or another from our surroundings, no matter what. We lived in America. I always say, you ever walk in, I said a few things I shouldn't have said, and I'll end with this. You ever walk into stall number 4 after a guy gets out of there? You push it, could die. You push it, think that he is a demon, because Yitaka did die, and he's dead. That's what smells so bad. He's dead, rotting in there for like 4 days. Then some other guy came out. Now, I have a question for you. How in the world is it shy that guy is in there for like 25 minutes, man? And I can walk in for 30 seconds. I'm going to throw up. But I can't, because if you throw up, you have to hug the toilet, and that's even grosser, okay? How's it shaykh? The answer is because when you're around the toilet bowl for long enough, you don't realize it stinks. That's why. And Baruch Hashem, we're able to come to Eretz Yisrael, we're able to come to yeshiva like this. We have an opportunity to be metahir and to be mekadesh and get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all siyata d'shmaya. Was about